item on the agenda is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
We have two approval of meeting minutes. One is for August 7th. And why are we doing August 7th? Didn't we approve that last time?
You canceled your September meeting.
That's right. Okay. So we got two meeting minutes, August 7th. Let's go ahead and take these in order. So are there any recommendations for changes on the August 7th regular meeting minutes?
Move to accept.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, our next one is approval of the October 2nd, 2019 special meeting.
Which was a training session.
And that's just, that was our training session.
I move to accept those.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, public comments. No public comments? Okay, old business. We've got a presentation by our intern. Again, another presentation. This is, of course, Gloria. And Gloria's charge is to look at maybe some ideas about the greening of Curie Beach. So, again, I'll turn it over to Gloria. And we've been told that you need to speak into the microphone. Ken can hear.
You can pull it out and walk with it.
Yeah, you can pull it out if you want to.
Yeah, I can hear very good now.
Okay, perfect. I think I'll just do my ear. So I just wanted to thank you guys for letting me present. And I guess I'll just jump that in. So I started by looking at a bunch of environmental initiatives just across the state. So these are a couple I just wanted to highlight. So the solar panels obviously are a huge thing around the state. And then one thing I thought was interesting in Raleigh, the fire station is harvesting their rainwater. I don't like read all of these off, but one that I thought was particularly interesting for here was Wrightsville Beach is doing an adoptive beach access program. So just community members can sign up and kind of clean up the beach and help out the community that way. And then another one is a couple of towns they have a really comprehensive list of things that can and cannot be recycled that they list on their website. And I thought that was important to note because of the conversation we had, I guess it was a couple months ago, about recycling. And then there is a nonprofit called NC Green Power that Gastonia has sent out to other utility customers, and it's a nonprofit that people can voluntarily donate to, and it goes to increasing renewable green energy in North Carolina, just all around the state. So I specifically wanted to highlight Chapel Hill because they're doing some pretty great things right now. I did want to point out, though, that they have a dedicated staff person in a sustainability department, but they have a really great website if you wanted to check it out. It's just sustainchapelhill.org. So this is just a list of a bunch of things that they're doing. They're doing a lot more than this, but this is kind of just a comprehensive top 10 ways that they are working towards protecting the climate. So some things to point out are like solar energy, of course, emissions from buildings, and tree protection. I think those are just a few. Maybe not small things, but easy things that maybe could be applied to.
Just very quickly, they have what's called an Environmental Stewardship Advisory Board, so they actually have a separate board set up for assisting? Okay.
So switching gears a little bit, I found out about this League for Cities and Communities program, and it's run by the U.S. Green Building Council. And there's about 90 cities worldwide that participate in this certification. So the program, the cities in North Carolina that participate are Raleigh, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and Durham used to, but it's you have to kind of recertify, so their certification ran out. But anyways, it's a program that is revolutionizing the way cities and communities are planned, developed, and operated. And its main goal is really just to improve the quality of life. And it provides a framework for, you know, planning and bettering the community through better policies and practices that support sustainability. So that's kind of an overview, and I'll continue kind of highlighting it. So basically, it's a rating system overall, and then they take the rating and kind of tailor it to making some policies in the program. So I spoke with one of the people that works with the platform that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, and he basically told me that their lead in general is just shifting from kind of talking about these green sustainable outcomes, and they're shifting towards actually measuring them so they can see how these things are actually being put into practice. So the certification kind of happens through this ARC platform, so it measures all of these things here, energy, water, waste, etc., and gives you a score. So it gives a performance score in the platform, and then it evaluates kind of the results, and it would lead towards the certification, or kind of just give an overall, like, general overview of how the city or community is performing as far as all of these scores go. So I had a little video. I could probably talk about it a little bit better than I could. I'm not sure. Would I be able to push play on that over here? Or?
Going 1 to 100 for any benefits from a neighborhood or district to a town, city, or region.
Oh, I think you probably clicked it twice.
Let's explore the cities and communities project types in ARC. With ARC, you can input data to receive a performance score of 1 to 100 for any type of place. From a neighborhood. Welcome back to the ARC webinar series. Welcome back to the ARC webinar series. Let's explore the cities and communities project types in ARC. With ARC, you can input data.
That's an interesting. Is it delayed coming through one of the speakers? Is that?
No, it's playing on two. Is the sound coming out of both?
There's an echo.
I mean, we can live with the echo if we need to, because I think the video is good too. So you want the voice and the video. We're a small group here, so there's no pressure. We can get it working. Let's just
make it happen.
Yeah, just make it happen with the echo. So,
can you turn off the sound on one of the two speakers? That solved the problem.
I think it's coming from the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I think that's
then the other speakers.
No, we can survive with the echo. So.
Welcome back to the ARC webinar series. Let's explore the cities and communities project types in ARC. With ARC, you can input data to receive a performance score of 1 to 100 for any type of place. from a neighborhood or district.
We're not getting the video now.
If you wish, you can use this performance score to achieve a Lead for Cities or Lead for Communities certification. Let's take a closer look using a demonstration project called Art City. After you log in and register your city, the first thing you'll see is a list of actions. Art is all about taking action to improve your city.
Make it to the big screen.
Under prerequisites, you will find requirements for Lead certification. You can work on these first or skip to get inputs to receive a score. Click on a specific prerequisite to learn more about the requirement and upload information about your city. Click on data input to learn more about the types of data that will generate a score for your city. The score uses 14 metrics across the five categories listed here: energy, water, waste, transportation, and human experience. Select a specific category to learn more about the metrics in that category. Under additional data, you will find a list of hundreds of parameters that you may wish to track for your city, even though they are not a requirement for the score. Once you have entered data, the fun part begins, checking your score. Here you can find your total score and your score in each of the categories. Drill down to a specific category to see your score last month and last year. You can also find out how your city score compares to local and global averages of other cities. The analytics section provides more detailed reporting in each category on a monthly and annual basis. In the manage section, you can edit details about your city, add team members and manage the level of access, see a list of your city's certification achievements, connect to your existing document management tools, check current and past invoices, as well as service agreements. You can also manage the privacy level of your project. If you want to access or share an animated visual of your city's score, the link is available here. If your project achieves Lead for Cities or Lead for Communities certification, the Lead logo will appear in the center of this animation. If you need any help while registering or working on a city or community project, please do not hesitate to email us at contact@artsguru.com. We look forward to helping you demonstrate your city's achievements.
Maybe jumping ahead, but have you got any feel for where we would start score-wise on that? Sound effects are pretty good there.
Thank you. Did you hear that?
Yes, not now. Don't do that.
This is a trial run before we go to council on this presentation.
Yeah, so there's a lot of categories there, like transportation, and our small town doesn't have a whole lot of transportation. So right. I was just wondering if you had any kind of rough idea or feel for where we would even start out on that scoring system.
Mm-hmm. So I did have a meeting scheduled with someone who runs this software last week, and it turns out when I called him, he focused on the building side, so I still have to get in touch with someone who focuses on the cities and community certification side. But he did tell me that once you kind of go through this process, you get like a, I don't know if a consultant is the right word, but then they kind of tailor it to your specific community. I had a couple ideas that I'll talk about
okay.
a little bit later.
Thank you.
Because, so this, they sent me a guide of kind of how you go about starting this, which you have to register, and I did find out that it's about $5,000 to register as an organization, and then there's like more fees added onto that, but that's based on your population, like I was talking about earlier. So once you're in the software, it does have a bunch of educational resources, and you would upload all the required data that they're talking about in that video. And so there's like 110 points available, but then you only really need 40 to be certified. So this kind of goes more into detail about what the fees kind of go towards. So obviously you get access to this platform, which is kind of like the certifying body of the LEAD certification, and then you get a dedicated LEAD coach like I was just talking about. And then I copied this right from their website, obviously, so they're going to say they have award-winning customer service and all that kind of stuff. But so that is a little bit of a snapshot of what you get with the fees. And this, I was hoping you'd be able to read it better, but it's a little bit small. But basically, this is the scorecard that they use. So it includes 10 kind of prerequisites and then 30 credits, including that you would report all of your data to kind of benchmark it with all the other cities that are participating in this program. So it addresses things like compact mixed use, transit development, things that might not be as applicable, but I did think maybe some things like the natural systems and ecology, which is that green one on the left, and like energy conservation, stuff like that would be kind of applicable here. So moving on, this is kind of, so the, let me go back. So all the different colors are kind of umbrella categories, and then they get broken up further. So I just wanted to highlight one of them of the many. So this is a credit you would get for resilience planning. So I thought this was a little bit applicable here because it looks at kind of the natural and the man-made environment, and you get points based on that. And then it goes into more detail where it kind of identifies risks and things like that and how you would mitigate those types of risks. So I figured that would be pretty applicable seeing as we're a coastal community.
Just real quickly, now, you know, going back to this one, so these are the categories of risk right there, but this is resilience planning. So you would get a score, and I'm sure there's probably hundreds of different categories under each one of these sort of things here, is that some of these categories would look at the resilience that we have for planning for these type of risks.
Right.
Okay, and that's what you get your points on. So, and they would have measurable type of things related to our resilience.
Right.
You know, and if we're low on something, then that gives an incentive to improve our resilience. And so each one of these categories may have very complex subcategories as part of it.
In that guide that they sent me, it's about like 150 pages that goes into all the detail about each kind of category and how many points you can get and things like that. So I wanted to, this is kind of the end of my presentation here, but I wanted to kind of propose if, you know, the $5,000 is maybe not an obstacle, but not something that is worth it in the end, we can kind of take their framework and look into it ourselves. That might be a lot of kind of staff time, but I feel like this is a good framework to kind of look at if we don't end up going with the certification itself. So I kind of wanted to see if there was any discussion.
First question, Gloria, is it's not just $5,000.
Because right,
you mentioned, you know, if you're going to recommend something, we need to say to a maximum of 10,000 or whatever that it was going to be. So we need more information.
I'm hoping to get in contact with some more people and get more information about it that I can bring to you guys the next time. But I just wanted to highlight that this is kind of what I've been doing most of my research.
I think council would want to know what they were getting for the $5,000 as well, so or whatever the amount is. So what's the benefit to the town for going through this program and not just a score, but what is the tangible benefit to the town?
There's definitely, so I signed up for like just an account on my own before you like obviously pay the money. And they have a bunch of like webinars and classes and like a ton of resources and things like that that would help with this kind of green planning.
You know, just a couple things to point out as we've been going, just for the commission's benefit. This is without question the premier organization that looks at the greening of cities and trying to encourage cities to green and all that sort of thing. you know, we started off with the idea, well, let's see what Chapel Hill's doing. Let's see what's, and this kind of popped up pretty quickly as a very, very comprehensive way of not only measuring but encouraging cities and, you know, looking at literally hundreds of different categories and the emphasis on trying to measure what those categories are so you can track them over time. The $5,000 popped up, you know, obviously. One of the things that we have found out, and we're waiting for kind of future discussions, is that they can provide grants. And
oh, yes, I
think. Yeah, and so you didn't mention that, where in fact the town, you know, we're not a Raleigh, you know, we're not a big city like that. They may be able to negotiate that price down substantially lower, you know, for a town, you know, particularly if Leeds, and of course I'm sure everybody's heard of Leeds. Leeds is the premier building certification group here, so they're expanding to communities. It may be that they have a very strong interest in having a town, a much smaller town like a beach community of Kiri Beach, as part of their group. They may give it to us for free, you know, for several years or something like that. So, you know, you need to talk to people and get a lot more information about this. Yeah. And again, even if they stick to the 5,000, if we can get the list of what to look at and what they're measuring, then we can pick and choose among that and just kind of develop our own policies and effort, you know, not do our own internal LEED certification, but say, yeah, these are things that we should be able to do, and, you know, maybe try to measure these things and push them a little bit further, even without going through the complex certification scoring process. So,
Craig, I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if everybody can hear me or not.
Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. On the greening of town, was there any connection or anything teaming with like Duke Energy and things like that? I know we did LED lights for our town thing, but like to go through the business district to make sure everybody's energy efficient in that area?
Yeah. In fact, that's a really good point, too. As soon as you said Duke Energy, I was thinking if somebody might want to give us a grant to, you know, the $5,000 per year, you know, Duke Energy might be able to do that.
Well, you know, too. So things in the mail where they're giving us, you know, their discounts on LEDs and things like that. If they would come in and do a survey of our businesses to find out where we could save, become more of a green town, might be worthwhile.
Not only the business district, but also the city. You know, I'm going to turn to John. You know, I mean, we've built a new building here and all that sort of thing. Was there any interest in conserving elements in building this building? I mean, again, you think of Leeds.
I believe we asked about getting it LEED certified, and conservative estimates were a 25% increase in construction costs.
Yeah, they're pretty aggressive at doing that. So.
Yeah.
LEED certified, so. Okay, all right.
All right, thank you.
So we have an upper limit as to what we're willing to pay to be green. Yeah, I think you've defined a boundary there. Okay, great. So, you know, can continue on. That would be my recommendation. Try to get as much information as possible. But also continue talking to people like Chapel Hill and people that have programs, and see what sort of things, specific programs or policies that we might be able to implement that in Wrightsville Beach, you know, with their adopt and access. You know, I mean, these are all things that wouldn't be driven by leads, but are also kind of very, very interesting things too. So, okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
No participation.
Yes.
I give you a streamlined version. Mr. Richardson, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, Capo.
Yeah, the microphone. Thank you. As we discussed in the previous meeting, remote participation for an advisory body like PZC, although not clearly addressed by North Carolina courts, probably presents little risk under the open meetings law, particularly if you adopt certain guidelines, such as making sure that a quorum is physically present and not established through remote participation, that the chair of the meeting is physically present, that you avoid remote participation in closed sessions because you can't ensure the confidentiality of the remote location, and also to allow voting except on matters that would be quasi-judicial in nature, again, which don't come before you all. So with that in mind...
Well, the special use permits might come to us. That would be the only...
Who has the authority for special use? Council?
Yes.
Oh, council?
You
okay.
All would review, but council adopts.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've gone ahead and drafted a policy and a little bit more about how we're going to adopt that policy in just a second, but we've worked those matters into the policy that you have in front of you. We've also laid out the minimum requirements of advance notice, trying to get them the agenda materials if you're going to participate remotely ahead of time. And also, as we've already evolved tonight, clear audio or clear visual, and the chair made some comments about that during the HPC meeting. The one thing that I would note different from what we discussed in HPC, I talked with Madam Clerk, by analogy, the Board of Adjustment has their own rules of participation. They're a very generic, vanilla, streamlined blend of Robert's Rules of Procedure, or Robert's Parliamentary Rules of Order, whatever that is called. She and I agreed that we could draft, very simply, draft rules of procedure for PZC and HPC, and by using the BOA template, and insert for those rules of procedure, remote participation policy that you have in front of you. Don't have to go to council, you all can adopt it yourself. That'd be my recommendation.
Okay. All right, any future questions? So your recommendation is to have a motion from us that you make the appropriate
adjustments.
I would like you all to adopt a resolution directing me to draft rules of procedure for PZC and by implicit understanding HPC, and to include in those rules of procedure the policy provisions you have in front of you for remote participation.
Okay, so moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Very good. All right, our next item is new business. Interview Tony Garibay.
Garibay,
okay. For alternate member position. Tony? So, probably come up to the podium and we have your application. You might just want to take a couple minutes, introduce yourself and kind of give a little background and so forth.
Sure. My name is Tony Garibay. I live at 1717 Fish Lane, Fruit Beach. And today's your lucky day because I spent my whole life around green buildings, energy savings, and performance contracts. If you're familiar with performance contracts. And also, before we get off of it, I spent 18 years as a remote employee working for my parent company, Ingersoll Rand, which I'm employed by train. And Skype for Business is an awesome tool to use. And the technology's there, and you can do a lot of things that allow us to do business with all of our corporate leaders, and they're very cool with it, and they like it. So we've vetted a lot of things out at a corporate level. So, you know, if there's things you want to try and ask me before you do it, please do it, because we've went through that pain and agony for you. Yeah. As I said, I started my career in industrial refrigeration, and I spent 42 years with industrial refrigeration and HVAC business. I'm a licensed general contractor in multiple states. I have master licensed HVAC in multiple states. And of course, in North Carolina, I'm licensed in industrial refrigeration. I work for a couple of different contractors, but I've spent the last 25 years working for Trane, in the last 20 years in performance contracting. I've worked primarily, in the federal, state, and local municipality sectors. I've done a lot of K-12 in higher ed type projects. In my tenure with, different roles within Trane, I had to manage a $250 million P&L, and I worked in projects with Oceana Naval Station, Beaufort Marine Corps Air Station, and Charleston Air Force Base on the federal side. And just recently, we did a large lighting upgrade with North Carolina DOT. So all the LED lights you see along I-40 in Charlotte and other places that look white and bright in the, those intersections, part of the project. It was a, if you Google DOT lighting, there was a big press release on it, I think in 2017, and it tells you a lot about that because we partnered with our franchise office, Brady Train in Raleigh. But Train Corporate is the contract holder for that project. So lighting, water, and things of that sort of, you know, really close to me. And we're doing, I've been involved in a lot of projects, especially in Kentucky with small municipalities. Example, city of Mount Olive, if you're familiar with Kentucky. About 4,000 residents, they were very close to privatizing the water system. So we worked with the town, came up with some solutions. One of the things we were doing are to put the high-tech water meters in for them, and to that wasn't going to cash flow the project. We did some, got really innovative and realized that they had a dilapidated and outdated water treatment center that they really wanted to upgrade. The water treatment, it was bad shape. It was not meeting some of the state requirements. So we worked with a company that developed an energy conservation measure, which is called ECM in the performance contracting world, to look at the leaks within their distribution system. And we found that what they were producing, fresh water, they were losing 80% in distribution. So think about that as a town. If you're spending, say, $1 million producing water, and you lost 80% of what you produce, as a business, you wouldn't be in business very long. So that's really what drove some of the thinking around privatizing the water system. 4,000 people. And they knew that was going to cost them probably triple or quadruple of what they were spending today. So this is an example, you know, I feel like I, you know, with my experience with not only federal and state projects and my experience within construction and working with different boards and school boards from, you know, and planning and zoning folks throughout different parts of the country, I feel like I didn't bring a different perspective, but I also have seen what other towns have tried to do and where they fail and what we've done to help them, lighting or whatever. So you talked about doing some lighting. We are heavily involved in lighting with one of our lighting partners, Cooper Lighting. And we've also did a lot of work with GE, which is now Current. So when you get into lighting, you get into a whole different conversation, especially around LED. Lord, as you know, you probably did a lot of research about lumens of output, you know, shading and everything around lighting. It's very, very important about when you're choosing lighting, how you choose it and how efficient it is. So, I've just been fortunate enough in my career to have a very solid education around the construction side, to take it to the energy side, and how it relates to customers, how they can save money using the performance contracting model and taking that savings in rebuilding infrastructure. And I think it's, as cities become more strapped for money, like North Carolina DOT or any municipality, there's not an overabundance of funds. It's like, where can I get my next batch of money to do something I want to do? And it's very creative ways you can work in that arena to help a lot of different customers of what we do when it makes sense. So with that, If you have questions, please ask, but that's kind of like a high level, you know, where I work and my experience within in my career.
Okay. Why don't we, you know, I'll go ahead and start with a question. You know, that's a good professional background. Well, what's your experience here in Kiri Beach? You know, how long have you been here? I know you've been involved in some, you know, groups here with the town and things like that. Could you maybe explain that a little bit?
Yes, full-time resident for 12 years. I was originally in the Stormwater Committee. I had a chair position there, and then I moved to the Board of Adjustments. I don't remember how many terms I served, but I've been vice chair.
Three.
At least three on the Board of Adjustments.
Okay.
All right. I'm good so far.
Oh.
I'm a listener today.
You're a listener today?
Yes, yeah, it's a pretty extensive general background. I guess two simple questions. One is, if everybody's going along with something and you disagree with it, how comfortable are you in speaking up and saying your mind or your piece?
I'll give you a story about that, and it's about our DOT project. It was not an easy one to sell because our company had never really participated in a project. It was strictly lighting. It was with a state entity, and DOT is not the most pleasant group of folks ever to work with. There's a lot of bureaucracy, and there's a lot of challenges of working within that group. So we went back and forth working with with Brady, which is our franchise within the area. It was a project that started out that the president of the company wanted to get, and over the evolution, he decided it was not worth, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. So some back and forth, and he was concerned about the risk, but what if, you know, something happened? We've never done this. What if a car runs into this? You know, the utility workers or whatever. So we had to put together a very extensive plan to do this type of work, meaning that when you do, we use SEPI as it's kind of our safety council on the project, and we built in a buffer. So before any workers, there was a good 2-mile buffer with the truck. So during the project, I'm glad to say we lost probably a dozen of those orange barrels, and we had one incident where the utility workers boom, the knuckle on the boom touched the a live wire, and because we required the fiberglass booms on it, it was something that, other than maybe everybody had a little bit of anxiety, it was a safety record they're very proud of. That was one of the things our leader was very, very careful about. But it was to get to that project, he rejected the project twice. This president of Trent, he said, I don't want it. So I knew it was something that I felt very strongly about. So I went around and I asked for other support, and one of the other senior leaders said, you know, tell me what you got, and I did, and he helped me, and we went back to Dave, and Dave said, you know, he likes this, and, you know, so we came up with that. After, I couldn't take no for an answer, because I knew it was the right thing to do for the company, I knew it was the right thing to do for the state of North Carolina, and I know it was just the right thing to do. So I couldn't accept no twice from the president of our company, and so this has been the way I am. And do I have, and you can call the president of the company now, I used to work for him, and he knows that sometimes if I feel very strongly about something, I can't accept no.
All right, my second piece, I appreciate that. My second piece was, I mean, you've been here in Kiri Beach longer than I have, but you came here for a reason. And obviously you've heard tonight that we're going through the process with the HPC for going through the B1 district and trying to maintain the character and the feel of the town. But can you give me a real short summary of why Kiri Beach? Why are you here? What is the character that you believe in for this community?
Well, I think it's not a secret. It's a small town feel. I mean, you can go anywhere, and I think you're not going to get this feel. I mean, some cities, small beach towns have captured that and been able to keep that, and some haven't. I think that why I'm here is I like it. Simple as that. And I think that part of this board is to manage this growth. One of the cool things I'm working on right now is in the city of Sarasota. We're doing a huge project there. It's much bigger than Curie Beach, but they wanted to keep some architectural kind of consistency with part of their downtown government center, and they're building a huge chiller plant because they use central chill water. So we're actually building a building that looks like all their little corporate other buildings, and behind it it's all mechanical chillers and ice tanks and everything else that we're putting in. But on the front, it looks like the campus. So how do we do that? Because we listen to the customer. And I think that's one of the things that you have to do is you have to listen to the people, and you got to come up with solutions to maintain what the objectives of keeping a small town feel.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me come in now. I'm ready now.
Oh, you're ready? Okay. Let me just ask one question. Availability. You probably heard there was a discussion about there is an attendance requirement for P&Z, remote possibly piping and so forth. Sounds like you do a lot of travel. What sort of restrictions do you see you having in terms of coming to these once a month type of meetings?
I don't, there's always challenges when you still work. but I don't see that you know when the meeting's going to be. Far enough, it's going to be the Wednesday of every month. I don't see it really being a problem. And like I said, for those rare instances that I have to be remote, I'm very used to doing that.
That was one of my two.
Okay, sir.
The second question I have for you, though, I'm going to take what David said and reverse it a little bit. You really feel you like something, or you want to do something, you want to stop something happening, but the regs will not let you do that. How do you handle it?
The regulations?
Yeah, the rules that we have to live by would allow something to happen that you're personally against. How do you handle that?
I think that being on planning and zoning, and there's been a couple of cases that we've had that I just felt strongly that there's got to be a better way, but the regulations were stated that this is what we have to do, and it was black or white to me. So we had to vote certain ways, and I think you know exactly what I'm talking about, but is there a better way? Well, having the conversation in open forum, as we have to do, I try to say there is a better way instead of, getting too postured with attorneys, that there could have been another outcome. But I do think that, with the regulations, it is the law. It is what's required for us to do, and so that's what I have to do.
Like it or not, you're stuck with it.
There was no other choice. It wasn't like it was I felt sorry. I just said, this is the way that it is, and that's what we have to do. We can change the rule, but we can't change it here in this group.
Thank you.
Again, this is for an alternate position. The way that we work, and this is actually established by the town council, is that we have a five-member board here. The alternate then comes to the meeting, is not a voting meeting or a voting participant. Can occasionally ask questions, but ask questions from the context of like a citizen, with the idea that we do have turnover in the P&Z, and so there's a mechanism that rather than waiting, we have vacancy and then go through the interview process. The alternate steps in immediately and becomes the regular member of the P&Z. So, do you understand kind of the role of the alternate member?
Same situation we have at Board of Justice.
Okay, good. Are there any?
I'm good.
Questions. Ken, do you have any questions?
No, the questions have been answered, the ones I was asked, so I'm fine with things so far.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We also have on our agenda to interview Steve.
He's not here.
He's not here. Was he made aware? I mean, what?
He was. He acknowledged and said that he would be here, so I'm not sure what came up.
What came up? Okay. Well, okay. Let me ask our attorney here. We don't really have this on the agenda. Are we to have a conversation and vote tonight? It's not on the agenda. It says interview, but
I'm not that. Who would approve the alternate member council?
We would just make a recommendation.
Well, we make a recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah. The council approves, but we make a recommendation. So we.
Council won't act until you make the recommendation.
Right. Okay. All right. So, but looking at new business, I think that was an oversight. If you notice, it goes 1, 3, and 4. For new business, so maybe we'll put interview with Steve as number 2 and number 3 as an oversight is recommendation from P&Z to town council. So is there a discussion and or recommendation?
Just as a discussion point.
I make a motion that we recommend Tony to the council.
Okay.
Yeah. Just as a discussion point, I remember that Tony applied for this position when it was last open, and I appreciate his continued commitment to stay involved.
I'll second Ken's motion. Is there further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Aye.
All right, very good. What we'll do is pass on the recommendation to town council for the next council meeting, which is in about a week and a half or so, I think. Or no, 2 weeks, isn't it, from today?
It's two weeks
from today.
The 21st,
okay. So you may want to attend that in case there's any questions from the town council about that. So great. Well, thank you very much for coming. Last agenda item is the overview of the new agenda/minute software.
Yes. I'm just going to stand right here because I have to use the computer.
Ah, but Ken can't hear you.
Can't hear. I talk loud enough. Okay, so as you can see in the last few meetings, we have changed the software to a system called iCompass. We've got a few of you on the iPads, and the rest of you already had iPads that you would be using. So you will be able to download your agendas and minutes from the portal, and I'm going to show you what the portal looks like. Sorry, my mouse is a little
finicky. I don't have an iPad. I do have laptop computers. I assume I can use a laptop computer for this?
You can use a laptop computer as well. Yeah. So from our website, which we are currently actually updating our website, there will be a link to the portal. The portal will look like this. Sorry. Technical difficulties tonight. There we go. It's mirrored to look very similar in design to our actual current website, so residents really won't even notice that they're going to a different website to the portal. You'll be able to view all your minutes and your meetings and your agendas from this current portal instead of from the website. We'll also be getting a new recording system that will actually be played and connected to the microphones for clearer audio for residents and for you to view if you're not at a meeting.
Was that link? Is the link on there now?
On the website?
Mm-hmm.
Not currently. Not until we actually go live with our new website will iCompass be live on in the portal. But you will also have the option to download the app onto your iPad, and you can log in that way and use the system.
Can you download it on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Too? Okay, so
it works on Androids, iPads, anything Apple really.
Okay.
And if staff or legal want, do I need a password or anything to get through?
No password needed. Do you have any questions regarding the portal? You guys have kind of seen how it's going to work in the last few meetings.
When do you expect it to go live?
That's a good question. probably not. I'm honestly going to say probably not till the December meeting. And okay. It'll go probably live first with council. Well, actually, it will go live first, the whole meeting using the recording system with council.
And so
maybe January.
The whole idea here is that they'll be able to pull up the documents online and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are they still going to get hard? I'm curious. Are they still going to get hard copy of everything, or are we going to go completely electronic?
The town council currently doesn't get any hard copies of the agenda, besides the mayor. The mayor is the only one. They use the electronic currently.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It's up to you. We ask you initially. You don't really have an agenda packet most of the time. You don't have supporting documentation.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to go just paperless, we can try that, or we can just keep it on both.
From the chair's perspective, it's kind of nice having a hard copy. Again, like maybe the mayor, just because it's easier to kind of go up and down through it and stuff like that. Yeah,
and it will be accessible on your iPad if you want to try electronic. And it will look the exact same on your iPad when you're going through the meeting as this. You can pull it up and have it on your iPad and go through each individual item as you click on it. It will pull it up on the other side, but keep your agenda still in place. And that will work just the same on your mobile device.
Okay. This is kind of a sidebar question. The university has gone to electronic signatures.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that we are thinking about going to? Is electronic for minutes or for? I mean, there's a lot of things that I would have to sign sometimes.
Not currently. With this software, they don't do the minutes electronically.
Okay.
For you to sign.
Okay. All right. Great. Any further discussions or
questions
for Ms. Chase? No? All right. Good. Well, thank you. Okay. Any member items? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Seconded.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Well, thank you. And,